What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 77, and this episode is brought to you by Zalman. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman, you can see what they're promoting right now, and they actually have sent us two different keyboards, and Derek, who is with me, has the gaming keyboard, and I sort of just received the all-around keyboard, so we'll have those reviews coming up. And Derek, how's your Friday going?
It's going good.
You don't sound excited.
I don't know. I guess I'm not out of work. I don't have plans or anything, so I'm just like kind of chilling.
Yeah, I'm kind of. You know, I still wish the Battlefield beta was going on because I would kind of like to play that right now.
Yeah, I went back and I played Battlefield 4, and I don't enjoy it as much.
I like the era, like the guns and the, you know, yeah, like you could get on a horse. It's just the dynamic is different. Mm-hmm. Because of the different guns and the different thing, and how you kind of really do have to like run to like certain obstacles and things. I like that about the beta.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, it's new.
Yeah, right? It's new too. So, and it does look very, very good.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm awesome in the plane. Well, not like flying the plane, but like
Bob's good at people like bringing him around and letting him like murder people.
Yeah, just rain down terror from the sky. That's what I did for like an entire match when we were playing. So, so yeah, Battlefield beta is over. Will you be buying it?
Probably.
Yeah, I'll probably get it.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I would say all Battlefield games are good just for the fact that you can kind of jump on and just play.
That's basically why I play Battlefield games.
Yeah, so that's why I have Star Wars too. I do like, I love Star Wars anyways, but that's why I have Battlefront. It's just because I can just jump on and kill people. Yeah. So yeah. So let's jump into stuff this week. There are no reviews this week. We will have a lot next week, but I didn't want to rush anything out, and I will be away next week, so I wanted to make sure we have reviews next week. But this week we do have some cool stuff, and probably one of my favorite articles each month is the 20 worst PC setups. So we have all of the worst ones from last month, and some of them aren't necessarily too horrible, but some of them are pretty bad. I don't know. I have to like go through and see which ones are the worst. A lot of these are people who are moving and don't have a desk yet, and yeah, that is the worst, especially if you want a game. Like, you can do basic computer tasks pretty much anywhere, but if you want to sit down and play games, using a box is just not fun at all.
No.
It's just pretty, pretty bad. And then there's some of the ones where people are just pretty, just disgusting.
There's a few of those in here.
Yes. Where people just don't know how to clean, and they don't really care, and they probably don't have a girlfriend. Yeah. The one is really cool is the guy says he forgot to budget for a desk, and he kind of built a desk out of cardboard boxes, and it doesn't look that bad.
Better than some of the other stuff.
Yeah, a lot better than some of the other stuff. But yeah, definitely check out this article. It's really funny to see what people come up with so they can play games, or so they can get on their computer so they have sort of a battle station to do whatever they're doing. And some of them, as we said, are pretty bad, and you know, a lot of people are in between moving, or their wife doesn't let them have like a space, so they have to kind of make do with what they have. So it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's one of my favorite articles of the month, and we do it only once a month, so definitely check it out. And that moves us to Case Mod Friday, and I love this mod because of the colors. So this mod is called Orange Nexus, and it's from Frozen Q PC Mods, I believe, and it's in the Inwin 909, and it seems like Inwin has these cases that just everybody loves doing builds in. I think more often than not, it's an Inwin case that we have featured on Case Mod Friday.
I don't know if I would go as far as saying like it's more often than not, as much as it's, if there's a build in an Inwin case, we're probably going to end up featuring it, because they all look so like not outlandish, but like they're,
now here's the question,
they just look good.
Do you think that, you know, Inwin and other companies maybe design cases with that in mind?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I know they didn't used to. And yeah, that's where modding came from, because yeah, cases were originally like terrible for what we wanted, and so we fixed them. But now they definitely are more oriented towards, you know, being able to create a beautiful build inside.
Yes, yes, for sure. So this is called Orange Nexus, and as I said, I love the color design. It's black, orange, and white, and that's one of my favorite color designs that we've seen. We've seen a few builds use this color design over the past few years, and I really like it. A lot of custom work in this one. It's not all that apparent, but custom reservoir, which is pretty awesome, I thought. Yeah, obviously,
it's pretty cool that they didn't just leave it all like open acrylic. They actually like covered part of it, and you can see the level from the front of it.
Yeah, did that. A lot of pass-throughs and covers, and a lot of acrylic use on this, which I thought was really cool. You know, you can put together a build without doing much modding at all, but this is really good. The paint job on the actual case is really good, I thought, too. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, and it's obviously hard tubing, custom water cooling loop in there. I really liked it. I just really like the color design. And it flows through the entire build, so it's, you know, the backplates on the GPUs are, you know, have the white and the orange on there, and it's, and it matches the Gigabyte motherboard, which is their overclocking board, which is orange and white. So
yeah, the G1 Gaming.
Yes, so it's perfect. Perfect color match.
Actually, it's a sick build. He's got Corsair Dominator, yeah, RAM in there, eight sticks, DIMMs, and a pair of Titan X's. So
I wouldn't mind having that. I would say
no.
At all.
Crush whatever you throw at it. VR, 4K, multiple 4K, anything.
Yeah, it will definitely do it. So definitely awesome build from Frozen Q. And we have a link to the build log and all that kind of stuff, so you can definitely check it out. So that moves us on to news. And this week is just a slow week for tech news, I would say. Yeah. Especially computer hardware related. But we do have... Well, there are actually three, but we're only going to cover two. But there were two case releases this week, which were kind of interesting, which we'll talk about in a second. But first, we'll talk about Intel and AMD and Windows 10. So last week, we talked about how Microsoft is only going to support... now, this is support, not... it's not compatibility, it's just support. Yeah. They will not support Intel's upcoming Kaby Lake and AMD's upcoming Zen CPUs on older Windows operating systems. So Windows 7 and Windows XP. If you're on anything older than that, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be before XP. That would be weird.
Yeah, that would be really weird if you were still on XP. I don't... Yeah, that's just sort of odd. But a lot of people still are on Windows 7, and rightfully so. It was and probably will still be one of their best operating systems. But the reason, or the likely reason, a lot of people are saying for this non-support is power issues, mostly power management issues. So with Kaby Lake, Intel, or hold on, I'm just like trying to read this and I'm not reading it well at all. So both the new Intel and AMD processors will have power. Basically, they'll slow down the CPU clocks in certain things and to reserve power when you're not using it, which makes a lot of sense.
Like speed step.
Yeah, like speed step. Intel has done this for a very long time. AMD will be doing it with their new processors as well. Intel has a new feature called speed shift technology, which allows the processor to adjust the clock speed with a response time of 15 milliseconds. And this requires some type of OS level hook to do it. It won't work without the kernel of the operating system having the instructions in it.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, Microsoft doesn't want to go back and change the Windows 7 kernel or the Windows XP kernel. That just makes a lot of sense because it's kind of pointless to change it. You will have to change it. So I think that's the big reason. And the second reason is with simultaneous multi-threading or SMT. We know that on the Intel side as hyper-threading. And AMD is implementing this, and this is going to be something new. from AMD. So again, it will require those OS level hooks. So what hyper-threading or SMT is, you know, if you have a dual core or if you have a multi-core processor, it actually reads each core as two logical CPUs. So if you're running a four core processor on Windows, it will recognize it as actually four cores but eight threads, so eight logical CPUs. I'm really trying to explain this in like a way that's hard. I'm struggling so hard. I have no clue why, because I know this stuff like so well, but it's just so SMT will be on both. Obviously, we'll have the hyper-threading, but AMD's new implementation will also... And AMD's implementation is not the same as Intel's. It's a little bit different. So, again, it will require a kernel update. So that's why we don't have support.
Probably do some sort of, like, it'll split the cores once there's enough threads available or requested.
Yes.
From the OS,
Something along those lines. So that's the reason you won't have support on Windows 10. Now, that doesn't mean that these won't work. They will, but these features will not work.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
And potentially other things as well.
Yes, potentially other things. But these are the big reasons, because everybody made a big deal about it last week, and these are the big reasons, and they make sense. They make sense to me.
I guess. It's not like this is the first time changes like this have been made. They just Windows just really doesn't want to go back and make the changes.
I think, one, they don't want to go back and make changes. Two, they want to make the older operating systems less compatible so more people are on Windows 10, because they really want to unify everybody on Windows 10. And you know, their plan is to not... Windows is going to be a service. It's not going to necessarily be an operating system. So it's just going to be Windows, and it's always going to be updated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes sense from a management point of view. You don't want... You're spending a lot of money trying to keep all these other systems going, even though it might be sort of the right thing to do because your customer did pay for the software in the first place, and you're not keeping it up to date, but that's kind of another argument altogether.
Yeah.
It makes sense to just have this one ecosystem that you focus on entirely.
And I think, in all honesty too, I think that makes it better because you can focus on one thing and you're not fixing bugs in six operating systems or whatever it may be. You know what I mean? And you can release new features faster and all that.
Yeah.
On the other side of the thing, I guess I'm like really out of it today. I don't know why. We're like on the normal time. I don't know what's wrong with me. Middle afternoon. Like, I should be on my game, but I'm really not. AMD unveiled their 7th generation A series desktop APUs. These are the first APUs that are built in the AM4 package, and they're also the first fully fledged system on chip or SoC, which means the APU completely integrates all of the functionality of a motherboard chipset in the chip itself, which is pretty cool. This is something that AMD has been wanting to do for a while. That was the whole thing of the APU anyways, was to bring everything together on a chip rather than have a graphics processor and other, you know, a Southbridge and all that kind of stuff. So these are the first ones. Now, these obviously are not Zen. These are the Bristol Ridge APUs, and they will feature CPU cores based on the Excavator architecture. So this is not the new architecture. It's just the new sockets. And it will bring some newer features, USB 3.0, and there will be possibly other connectivity added on some AM4 motherboards. So you might get an AM4 motherboard that will have like a USB 3.1 controller on it. That's not part of the actual chip itself. It all depends. But for us, this is not super exciting because these are APUs. They're not CPUs.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's not Zen, so. Really, this is the test generation, so.
Yeah, this is
if you feel like being a guinea pig, go for it.
This is the test generation in the AM4 socket.
I wouldn't buy anything probably with this built into it.
Yes, I wouldn't at all. But there are going to be a lot of integrated systems built with this because it does have everything integrated into the CPU, and that does save a lot of money, especially when it comes to like the AIO market and small form factor market as well.
Of course, it's just I would avoid something built around this generation. I would wait until the Zen part comes out.
Yeah, especially with all the hype that Zen's getting, it's just kind of dumb to not wait.
Yeah, and I think that they're really testing this. It's gonna probably, I bet this has issues.
Yes. So good for AMD to get these out. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 parts in this APU launch.
Pretty extensive.
Yeah. Cool to see APUs. I do like when APUs were first announced. I really like the idea. It's just we're not at the point where. And I don't think we're ever going to be at the point just because of how...
Physics?
Yeah, and like just how you can't have a single CPU, GPU together on one chip that's more powerful than a discrete GPU.
Yeah, more than likely not.
Yeah.
It seems like something along this line, though, is like has to be the future if we are going to do like the... kind of space age things we've always like dreamed of.
Yes.
But yeah, this is just a step along the way, I would say, to something like that.
Yeah, I still like the idea, and I think a lot of people do appreciate the APU just for the fact that it is a lower cost than buying a discrete card, especially if you don't need a discrete card really. It's kind of a logical choice.
Yeah,
for a lot of people. So anyways, we'll move to NVIDIA, and it looks like we will have their lowest end card coming out very soon. It's been reported that NVIDIA is putting their final touches on what will be the GeForce GTX 1050. And this will be based on a brand new silicon. It's GP107, and that's actually the fifth silicon based on Pascal. So we have GP100, GP102, GP104, GP106. And now we will have GP107. And GP107 will feature 768 CUDA cores, 48 TMUs, 32 ROPs, and a 128-bit wide GDDR5 interface that will hold up to 4 gigabytes of memory. And the GTX 1050 should max out all of the features on the card itself. And it will have clock speeds of 1318 megahertz core and 1380 megahertz GPU boost, with the memory being at 7 gigahertz. And the card could possibly run under 75 watts, more than likely at least under 100 watts, and it would be positioned between AMD's Radeon RX 460 and the Radeon RX 470 4 gigabyte. So just get into that low end. You know.
Yeah, very, very entry level.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if this does come with a PCI Express power connector or if it does not.
And if it does not, are they going to run into the same trouble AMD did?
Yes. But they are saying it's going to be pretty low power, so at least under 100 watts. So you could see a 6-pin on there. I would
pause.
Yeah, at the most. So yeah, so if you're looking for the low end on the NVIDIA side, that is coming out. And again, they'll be positioned between the RX 460 and RX 470 4 gigabyte card. So
it's pretty cool that everything is like 4 gigs now, because that allows you to basically run like 4K, not gaming really, but for just about anything else.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Even though it's a super low end, it'll be ultra cost effective.
And you do have to think too, I mean, the new architectures are much more like the jump in performance is very significant. You know, I remember even like last generation, the lowest end card couldn't really do much of anything,
right?
And now you'll have a lower end card that can do a lot, which is kind of nice.
It'll probably do a bit of pretty good graphic quality 1080p gaming.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll get on to the cases, and this is what I was really excited about this week because I am a huge case person. Inwin finally officially announced the availability of their D-Frame 2.0. So the D-Frame was one of their most popular cases, still is one of their most popular cases. And the 2.0 was, we first saw it at PAX a while ago. So we first saw it at PAX, and then they've been kind of showing it off and haven't really said much, but it is now official. It is a upgraded version of course the original D-Frame, and this is what they've been doing, is they've been doing 2.0 versions of these iconic special edition cases that they had came out with. I believe what they did, the H-Frame 2.0, a couple other 2.0s. So this, they changed the color around. It's black and gold, which is kind of cool, since I'm from Pittsburgh, and if you know anything about Pittsburgh, black and gold is pretty cool. But this one also comes with a special edition power supply, and I think that's one cool thing they've been adding to these 2.0 versions, is the addition of that special edition power supply, which you got to see at CES. I've never seen it in person, but it looks pretty badass.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're really big.
Yeah.
Might be a different one. Nope, that's the same one.
Yeah. And I think that kind of just adds to the whole thing of the special edition.
Yeah, the only downside to it is that it's not technically certified as platinum or anything. They just tell you that it's platinum efficient.
Yeah.
But just kind of have to take their word for it.
Yeah, but I think
they don't mass produce these. They don't sell them separately, so they didn't go for a rating. They're just included.
You know, I'm really surprised they didn't sell them separately, just for the fact that they look really awesome. And yeah. I think if they did sell them separately, they would sell.
They might, but they're a very non-standard form factor.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that.
So yeah, they're a little bit shorter than a normal power supply and a lot wider.
Yeah, I totally remember that. You telling me that now. Because I think when you first talked about it at CES, I was like, yeah, the power supply is awesome. But then you said it's not the traditional form factor, so that kind of rules it out for using
it. They do offer power supplies. Yes. They do have a power supply line. It's just this one is not included. It's a very strange 1,065 watts, too. I don't understand the...
Yeah, it's really weird. Power rating. But I do like this case. I think it's super cool. I do like that the color design of it, and just some upgrades. They've changed the panel on the main side panel. It doesn't fully cover it anymore. There's like a D-Frame logo at the top that takes up part of it, and
aluminum plate.
Yeah, and they've just done some better management of components and things like that. There's an actual radiator bay at the bottom too, so you can put a radiator in there, and it's much better now.
Yeah.
So you reviewed
the original, didn't you?
I reviewed the Mini.
Oh, okay.
Which is a smaller version.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Mini ITX version.
Should have been tipped right off by the 360 radiator mounting area.
Yeah. But still, basically, it was the same case, but just smaller. And it is a really great case, and it's really unique. This is something that we just talked about Inwin with all their builds and how people love doing builds in these cases, because they build these cases that just by themselves are just something awesome to look at.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's half your battle.
Yeah. And you know, this just looks really great. I can't wait to see some builds in this. You know, and maybe you can match the color scheme of this quite easily with a lot of components that are out there. And yeah, they just do a really great job, and I think it's really cool because, you know, we've talked about this before, like every year at Computex you're waiting for the Inwin case, right?
Yeah.
Because they just started this thing, maybe was it 5 years ago, maybe they started it, where they would release a special edition case every year at Computex. And it was like kind of for us, for the people who are computer hardware guys, like that was kind of what we waited for. We waited for the Inwin announcement at Computex because we knew it was going to be like just something completely crazy something that really blew our minds. And well, I've seen these cases up close. You have too, and they are really like works of art, a lot of them. So yeah, it's cool to see this. I don't know how many of these they are making.
They've all been limited.
Yeah, they've all been pretty limited. So we'll have really to see. Expensive. Yeah, and quite expensive. So no word on pricing on that either, but. Still
the $400 range.
Yeah, something like that. We'll see. Hopefully I can get one into review, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But this is very interesting. The second case that we're going to talk about here is it's an Antec case, but they've teamed up with Razer. Yeah. And Razer has done this with a couple different products. They did it with NZXT maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Not even, I think. Didn't you review one of them?
Yeah, it was Derek? Yeah. I reviewed I think it was the H440 Razer edition. Yeah. So they did kind of the same thing. Antec has case or to help develop this case with Razer. And honestly, I think it's such a great thing for Antec because we've talked about this so many times, and it's such a sad story because Antec was like the top dog when it came to PC cases. They just were. Yeah. My first few cases were Antecs. Everybody I know had Antecs. Like everybody, it was just everybody I knew. And then again, these new companies like NZXT came out, and you know the other ones. You know, Corsair started making cases, and like the competition level just went through the roof. And Antec kind of just stayed the same.
Yeah, they did not put up a fight.
Yeah, so they released a new mini ITX gaming case. And it's called the Antec Cube, and this is the Razer edition. I'm pretty sure they're gonna have just a regular one that's not a Razer edition. I think the Razer edition looks pretty badass, though.
Yeah, but then you do have people that don't dig the Razer thing. So
yeah, but this is a pretty cool looking cube case, mini ITX. It looks really good. It looks like it has windows on both sides. It's sort of, not design-wise, but just the whole idea of the mini ITX build reminds me a lot of the BitPhoenix. What was that thing called?
Is it the Prodigy?
Yeah, the original BitPhoenix Prodigy. Because, again, so many people are gravitating towards the mini ITX because it's small enough and it's powerful enough to play games that you would want. And, again, it's small enough that you can take the LAN parties with you quite easily.
A really cool LAN party rig.
Yeah, so I think the case looks great. It has support for water cooling. It looks good. Looks like it has all the modern connectivity you would want. Again, looks like it has windows on both side panels, room for full size power supply in there. So it looks like you're pretty much good to go on all facets.
I like the grill on the front.
Yeah, the grill on the front looks really cool. It has.
I just want to put a big old square radiator in there.
Yeah, it has, I believe, top and front water cooling support. I'm not sure about, I don't think bottom.
I would doubt it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't probably be much more room for anything than the power supply.
Yeah, power supply and maybe a little bit of storage down there.
Yeah.
And USB 3.0, obviously, on the front, and they're green. They're not blue, which I think is cool.
I didn't notice that.
And has LED, or it has like LED light strip on the bottom to give it that underglow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's a really cool case. Maybe this will wake some more people up about Antec, but a lot of times with Antec, these are one-offs, which means the rest of their case line kind of sucks, which we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I want to see production photos and not just these renders.
Yes, there were builds with this, which is. At PAX, which our good buddy Rob put up on Facebook, and they looked really good. It was, you know, like a full custom build. Are you looking them up?
Yeah, I gotta see it now.
Yeah, somebody posted a build. If you go, hold on, I'll go to it too. Somebody posted pictures from PAX on his post about it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gamers Nexus was there. They have photos.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It looks plasticky on the front though. I thought that was gonna be like an aluminum grill on the front, the slots.
Yeah, no. No. Not many people do the aluminum front anymore.
They should. It looks a lot better.
Yeah.
I'd gladly pay more. Honestly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I think we all would. But I still think that it does look cool. For Antec, and it's good to see Antec kind of coming out with something that people are actually going to use. Because their last big announcement was that huge S10 thing, which was completely impractical for 90% of users. That's why, like I said, the BitPhoenix Prodigy was so successful and sort of launched the BitPhoenix brand, because
it did.
Everybody was using it. It looked awesome, and it was super functional. And it was one of the first mini ITX machines that was made to be a gaming machine. It was made to fit full size graphics cards and full size CPU coolers and full size power supplies. Like, it was just made to do that.
Yeah, that was probably the most popular mod case of the year.
Oh,
in that form factor,
and yeah, especially in the whenever it first came out,
yeah,
for sure. Everybody was doing builds in it. It was super easy to build in too. I mean, it's just a good case. And hopefully Antec and Razer have something with this new one. The thing that sucks, and the thing is I didn't even hear about it, a lot of people didn't even hear about it, is that because Antec's marketing just is not good.
Yeah, how is there not a huge press release for this?
Yeah, it just was, yeah, I don't know.
Why would you just bring it out at a show, at PAX? Why would you just, like, stick one or two of them on a table and call that your, like, launch, you know?
Yeah, apparently there was
a huge missed opportunity.
There was nobody from Antec at there either, from what we gathered on Facebook.
Really?
So yeah,
not exactly. Provide details.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot there. So
that just sucks.
Yeah. So another Razer thing that happened right at PAX was they announced what they call the world's first Mecha membrane keyboard, which is interesting because I just reviewed one. I can't tell you if they're the same or not, but you know what I mean? Like, it's the same type of thing. It's
like
not
short travel. Is that what this is?
No, this is like the Cooler Master one I just reviewed.
Oh, okay. Not that.
So they're not mechanical, I don't believe. See, mid-height keycap hybrid provides, I don't know. I was trying to read this.
It's got to be a membrane. It can't be a mechanical.
Yeah,
it's in the name of it, right?
Yeah, so what I've gathered is, and they don't really tell you about the technology in the press release.
Why would they?
Yeah, it just says Mecha membrane, which means that I believe this is not mechanical.
Yeah, that's stupid Razer marketing.
Yeah, and that's why such a big deal, is because they're saying it's the world's first, but if it's the same technology as the Cooler Master one,
yeah,
it's the same. That had been out for a while.
It's probably something that's basically been out already.
Yeah. Because the Master Keys Lite from Cooler Master, it is a dome style switch that is made to feel like a mechanical keyboard, and it does, and it has that tactile feedback, and I actually really like it for the price. And it's a good keyboard. I did like it.
But not competitive with the actual mechanical.
Yeah, not competitive.
Because this is a $100 keyboard.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Master Keys Lite, which comes with a mouse and keyboard, is $60.
Yeah,
and again, you're getting a mouse. And
a mouse as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not. And the thing that bothers me about this is that in this press release, it doesn't say. You know, it says it's a unique mid-height keycap hybrid. What does that mean? Hmm. Like, it doesn't tell me what. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say that it's just a difference. Size keys cap, you know.
Yeah, but are they calling it Mecha membrane?
Like, well, that sounds like it's just referring to the caps. What about the rest of it, though?
Yeah, and it doesn't
soft
say
cushion touch and crisp tactile. How can you have both a soft cushion touch and a crisp tactile click?
Yeah,
I don't understand. Like, it's either a mushy membrane or a mushy dome switch, you know.
Yeah, it's really weird because, and then it, like, it just doesn't say. I would really like to research the Mecha membrane technology and what it actually is. I can't for the life of me believe that this would be a mechanical switch, because Razer keyboards that are RGB or chroma, as they call it, are 130, 140.
Yeah, and they're in-house switches. I didn't realize that. They make their own switches now?
Yeah, a lot of them are made by Kale, who allows
them for Razer.
Yeah, they allow the companies to call them their own.
Gotcha. Well,
but I'm not sure if that's
what's... lame. I'm glad I have a really old Black Widow with actual Cherry switches.
Yeah. But it's just the thing that kind of, again, Razer is so big in the gaming world, is that they like to make these claims of like, this will be the world's first or the whatever.
They say that at every CES.
It's just like they're like the Apple of like the gaming world, I feel.
Gaming peripherals.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, if this is the same technology as the Cooler Master Keys, right? If it is, it's not the world's first, because I saw the Master Keys Lite at CES in January.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not the world's first. They just announced it. I reviewed that Master Keys, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So I just don't like it when companies claim things and it's really not. And especially if it is the same technology and it's $100, that's a waste of money.
I think that you're going to be basically getting a dome switch.
Yeah, I think
they probably tried to copy Cooler Master. In all honesty, they probably tried to copy Cooler Master, if not licensed it from them. And possibly. They're trying to call it their own thing.
Yeah, and the thing, well, it's smart because, you know, mechanical keyboards are at minimum $100. If you get into RGB ones and, you know, a bunch of other stuff, and this does have a nice wrist rest on it.
The wrist rest actually looks legit.
Yeah, the wrist rest looks really nice on this. That could be for the price. So, again, you know, you're going up, and I would say that's at least a $10 wrist rest.
Paying a $10 to $15 premium because it says Razer on it, for one thing, too.
Yes, that is true. So, I believe, in my mind, this is the same technology as Cooler Master used, or at least similar. Which basically means, again, in my understanding of what Razer's doing, is that it's not mechanical, but it will give you the mechanical feel or feedback, right?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be, like, squishy, yet clicky.
Yeah, so it says, combine the most desirable traits of membrane rubber dome design with the merits of mechanical keyboard technology. So, it's the same thing as Cooler Masters, which, again... I can't say anything bad about, because I actually really did like it for the price. Now, for $100, you can get a mechanical Cherry MX-based mechanical gaming keyboard, especially some of the older ones that aren't RGB, you can get for under $100. So it all depends on what you want. For sure. But again, this is just another way for Razer to sell a keyboard at a lower cost, and obviously still call it a gaming keyboard, even though it's not mechanical.
And something to just build hype on.
Yes, that too.
I think that it is exactly like that. Because there's I found a photo of the Switch itself.
Okay.
And it looks just like the Cooler Master one.
Are
you looking at it?
Yeah.
It's just like a plunger onto... Well, it's like a plastic casing with a little metal clicker. And then it's a dome switch.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically the same thing.
Which is exactly, well, you know, very, very close to what that Cooler Master was.
Yeah. I would definitely go with the Cooler Master one, unless you want that wrist rest.
Yeah.
Because it's much cheaper.
Oh, here's a Razer little page on it. It literally just has a little metal piece to click for you.
Yeah.
It does nothing but click on the side of the, like, actuate on the...
The actual, yeah.
It's really poorly, but...
I think we've described a lot of things poorly today.
The body of the keycap, like, just kind of... It has a little tab, and it just clicks past this piece of metal. It has nothing to do with the actual function of the switch. It's a membrane switch. That's all it is. It's a dome switch with a clicker.
That's kind of how the Cooler Master one is.
Okay.
At least they, they go into a lot of detail on their actual key itself and how it's made to give you that feel. Like, the Cooler Master really explains it on okay. their website to the public, like, you know.
Gotcha.
So yeah. So check it out if you're looking in that price range. Again, if you are looking in that price range, $100 price range, and RGB doesn't matter, there's probably at least 5 mechanical gaming keyboards that have Cherry MX switches in them that you can buy. There might be a couple years older, but they're definitely still worth it for the feel, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, so. Don't skimp. That's all I gotta say.
Yes.
You won't regret like spending the extra money to get actual mechanical keys.
Yes. So that is the news for the week. Again, really slow news. One other thing that I didn't even write about because I just didn't, was the new Apple iPhone launch. The only thing that I thought was really stupid is they got rid of the
headphone jack.
Yeah, headphone jack, which means you have to buy another adapter. Well, at least
Apple putting something between the user and being able to use their device.
The adapter does not come with the phone, correct? Or does it? I don't know. I didn't even watch the thing.
Yeah. I don't want to use an adapter.
Yeah,
you use an adapter? That's stupid.
And their new wireless headphones are the ugliest thing I've ever seen, and like they just don't look.
Yeah, they probably suck.
Yeah. So
you really want to like? I mean, I love the idea of the complete wireless headphone that just, you know, is the bud in your ear. That's really cool. But now you got one more thing to worry about charging, right?
Yeah. I have wireless
headphones. You just grab a set of headphones and you plug them in.
Yeah, I have wireless headphones for the gym, which I love. I don't know. I just feel like it's a total fail by Apple in a lot of different respects. And like, there's two different. There's like a dual lens camera on the 7 Plus, but there's not one on the 7. Like, it's really weird. A lot of people say they dropped the ball. I think they did. I don't know.
I didn't feel like we needed a new phone.
Yeah, but they're doing the thing, especially it's a lot, you know, every year you're going to get a new phone. It's just how,
yeah, I guess so.
That's how they do it. That's how they still make a good amount of their money. But I think the thing that's going to be interesting is next year, which will be the 7S, that will be the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. So hopefully we'll see bigger changes. You know, a lot of people are still complaining about the screen resolution, which is a big deal considering other Android phones out there that have like 3 or 4 times.
Is it still 1080p?
It's, I forget what it's at. It's not even 1080p screen.
It's not?
No, I don't believe so.
I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So, so hopefully next year, I always upgrade on the S because that's the one that usually brings the better features out.
Yeah.
Usually, and the thing is too, is like in this other one, they didn't change the form factor. It's still the same. You know, so we'll, man, I just was not excited for it at all. So
no,
yeah,
it's okay to like go to new future, like new products, right? A new direction. That's a pretty big leap, I felt.
Yeah.
It kind of isolates isolates your users.
Yeah. I was kind of upset about when they changed the connector to the Lightning connector. You know, because I had so many of the older cables, and now I have to buy new cables and all that. And now this adapter, and then all the idiots will go to the Apple store and buy the adapter for what, $20 to use headphones. Like, that's stupid. You know, it's just, and it's really cool.
Plug in the bottom of your phone.
The right when they made the announcement, what's that? The new Android? What's it? The OnePlus or what is it called? It's a phone manufacturer. They came out with their OnePlus One phone or whatever. It was really big.
Is that the one that's a slide phone?
It's called
a phone that's got like insane processing power, like 28 gigs of memory.
I don't know. It's called OnePlus. That's the name of the company. And when they first, it's just OnePlus.net, all spelled out. As soon as they announced like the adapter and the no headphone jack, OnePlus put something up on Facebook that's like, this is a headphone jack, it should be on your phone. It was really funny. It's cool. I really like it when companies like take shots at each other.
Oh yeah,
I remember the whole PC Mac war on advertising like 5 years or probably like 10 years ago now, which was a big deal too. So I like to see that. Pretty cool. But yeah, Apple not excited about any of the new announcements. So, and I am an iPhone guy, so I will not be getting the iPhone 7. I will be getting the 7S more than likely next year. So.
I don't know, man. The last time you upgraded, you had that iPhone, your previous iPhone, for like years.
Well, no, I had the, what did I have, 5S?
It was like a 4.
It was not a 4.
Oh, it had to have been a 4.
It was not a 4. It was a, because it might have been, it was a 4S.
It might have been a 4, huh?
It was a 4S, and then I went to a 6S. So it was a 4S. The S was, that's the better one. The S generation is usually when they upgrade the processor and do a lot of the better features, typically. Yeah. I will probably be upgrading next year. But my phone's like this 6S is a beast. I mean, it really is a good phone.
Seems like it.
Yeah, especially when it comes to shooting video and photos, it's a great phone.
It is so. Okay.
Does really good.
Yeah, okay.
I shot a whole video. Like I put a whole video together from stuff I put a shot yeah, no, on. I saw. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, it was okay.
Anyways, so coming up next week, guys, is everything I was going to do this week, but I'm just gonna get it up next week, and it's gonna be more thorough for sure. So. I have the MSI X99A X Power Gaming Titanium. It's the longest name ever. It is their X99 board. It has everything you would want an X99 board. Literally everything.
Yeah.
Just everything you would want in an X99 board. It has. It is colored. The PCB is colored like a titanium color, which looks awesome. It's a really good looking board, and again has all of the features you would want on a X99 board. There's nothing missing, I don't think, on this board. So
good.
So I have that. I have the Crucial MX300. They sent us their when they first announced it, they sent us their 750 gigabyte version, but now they also sent us their 1050 gig or 1 terabyte version and a 525 gigabyte version. So I have those two for you. And then finally, the Fractal Design Defy Nano S. And this is such an awesome little case. This is their mini ITX version of their Define case. And it's just basically a mini version of their Define case, which is one of my favorite cases from them. And this thing's so small, but you can still fit a full-size power supply. Two radiators inside, one at the top and one at the front.
What size?
240s.
Okay.
So 240 in the front, I believe, and
probably
a 240.
Slim though, right?
Yeah, slimmer. Yeah. Well, in the front you could fit a it all depends on the size of your GPU too. So if you have like a crazy long GPU, you'll have to do a slim radiator. But if you don't. Gotcha. You could fit a pretty hefty radiator in the front. Just look, it's really well made. And one thing I really like about Fractal Design is that their cases are really, really well made. So this is a really great case. So definitely stay tuned for my review of that. And that is basically it. Did you do anything interesting this week?
I mean, we played Battlefield.
We did play Battlefield, which you talked about. Definitely would recommend buying it if you like any of the Battlefield games or you like the time period, which is World War One. You should. What's the game going to be? $50? Is it $50?
$60.
$60. You should get your $60 out of it if you buy it, I would say. That's my recommendation.
So. Yeah, so $60, and then probably in a couple months you can get the $15 DLC.
Yeah.
But yeah, it should be a good game.
I don't think I've ever bought DLC for any game.
No? Never?
I can't recall.
I have. For all the Battlefields I played, I got all the DLC.
Okay.
I used to wait till like later until they're all released though, and you can get them all for like $10.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. For sure. No, I bought DLC for Payday. Payday 2.
Of course, yeah.
I need
you buy some skins?
Well, no, like they have like their certain packs that open things, and then like Steam sale comes, and like all the packs are like, I forget, you know, just the like, same thing, like $10.
Yeah.
You know, so you just buy them.
Yeah, why not?
And then there was one that came out that was like super cool, and I was like, it's like $5. I'm just gonna buy it. But yeah. Yeah, so Battlefield 1, I think we both recommend it, so...
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
well, if you missed the beta, that's kind of too bad, because it was a good chance to really get in and try it out.
Yeah, we had some fun playing, was it last week? Last Friday.
That's Friday, yeah. After the podcast,
we played for a while, so I had...
I had 7 hours in.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, I played a bit more. I got to level 17 or something.
Wow, you were really crushing it.
Yeah, man, I did the thing you were doing, and I kind of just got in some vehicles, some tanks. We ran a tank one time. We were in it for like a half an hour, I would say.
That's one thing I really like about, I think, all Battlefield games, especially when it comes to the vehicles, is that you can legit be in a vehicle for a long time and just, you know...
If you get the right like team together in it.
Yeah, yeah, you can protect an area, or you can start taking over areas and doing things and be in there, like you said, a half an hour. I mean, a long time.
We had like five guys in this thing like the whole time.
Yeah.
And we were just like rolling and stuff. And the downside to the game right now, which I think that they'll probably nerf or buff some stuff, is that I think that the tanks and all the vehicles, actually, they're a little too powerful in the beta. And it's really hard to kill them. So
I think even the mounts, the horses, like, you can shoot a horse a lot before it dies. Like, normally, if you shoot a horse with a single bullet, it's gonna, like, something's gonna happen.
It's gonna mess it up pretty good.
Yeah. So that's one thing I did notice in the beta. But yeah, I do feel like all the vehicles are a little overpowered. But we'll see how they fix that. Obviously, they'll be releasing updates, and the final version will be an updated version of the beta. So,
yeah, those are just balance issues. So.
Yeah.
Ongoing stuff.
Besides that,
I didn't see it, but I just realized I needed to, because I was looking to see when it does release. But Halt and Catch Fire is back on TV.
I saw a commercial for it. Yeah. I'm so behind.
It's only two episodes.
I'm on like the second episode of season two, so...
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I have...
Halt and Catch Fire makes me, like... Gives me all kinds of good feelings.
So yeah. It's on Amazon, right?
AMC, so I don't know if it's on Amazon.
I think it's on Amazon, and Amazon allows you to download it, so you have a physical copy.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna be on, like, a 4.5-hour flight. And I think I'm gonna... That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna watch them. Yeah. So yeah, that's like the only thing when I'm on a flight, I usually either watch something or I work, and I don't believe this flight has internet.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, last time I was on a flight, internet was like legit. Like, so the longest time, like Southwest, like that's who I usually fly, because you can check two bags for free.
Yeah.
Their internet is like at most $10, right? Which is reasonable if I'm going across country for 5 hours, $10 is not expensive.
For the whole flight.
Yeah, for the whole flight.
Yeah.
I flew US Air cross country to California.
Yeah.
And it was almost $30 for internet.
That's a lot.
That's a little ridiculous.
I probably wouldn't pay that.
I did, because I had nothing else to do.
Did not come prepared.
Yeah, and it's like and they like that was just like just for my flight. So say if I had like another connecting flight somewhere, it wouldn't transfer. So like the Southwest like the all day pass on Southwest, which I don't know how much it is now, but like last year when I flew, it wasn't that expensive. And it will like, you know, you get on your next flight, you go to connect the internet, like you don't pay anything because it's, you know, you're in the system or whatever.
Yeah.
So I will be looking forward to that. And
Catch Fire.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I have going on next week. Yeah. So, guys, as Derek and I are, like, really weird, having a really weird podcast, because we both seem to be out of it. Probably because we don't have anything planned.
We didn't have a lot of news or anything.
Yeah, it's kind of a slow week. I did like the case. I love cases. That's, like, one of my favorite things. And we're getting into the time of year where new cases are being released, so I'm pretty pumped about that. But we will have a lot of cool stuff next week, and some special stuff that I can't tell you about, but we will have coming up soon. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. As always, we will have a full show notes page that has everything that we talked about on this podcast and links to everything. So if we talk about it, you can click right through and see exactly what we're talking about. So until next week, catch you guys later.